today, a lovely day, beautiful sunshine and spring. Even though we're in lockdown, we can still come together and fellowship. It's wonderful how the Lord uses everything and every situation in which to bring us together and to share and to share around God's word. Praise his name. Well, I'd like to really carry on the idea of what I was talking about last with regard to prayer. But I've got a title today for this teaching, and that is The Spirit Himself Prays Through Us. The Spirit Himself Prays Through Us. One of the experiences we can learn and be taught about is the Spirit who can take over and can pray and intercede through us. This again is another reason why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We know that the baptism of the Spirit is a help, a comforter. He is the one, as we know, comes to take over. The idea of the Spirit is where we lean our whole weight on the wall. And of course we do that we know that the wall will hold us, or we sit in a chair knowing that that chair will take our weight. So that is the idea of the Spirit who is in our lives, that we can lean upon him. He is secure. He never lets us down. He cannot deny himself, his name, his sovereignty, his word. All these things that we embrace and hold to and teach on. And I open up with that because that also is how we pray. Because we all know that when we pray in the understanding, and there is a place to pray in the understanding, because praying in the understanding also edifies, builds and encourages. We can't always be in tongues, else we would not understand. But much of our praying, we know also, is in the Spirit, in those languages, those tongues that God has given to us. And also, we take encouragement in this because we're seeing how much our prayers are being answered. When we pray in the Spirit, and we're led by the Spirit, it's not a hit and miss. We know and we believe by faith that it's entering into the presence of God before the mercy seat of Almighty God. So I want us to look at some scriptures we know very well in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. Let's just read these first to remind ourselves. And here it says, "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." And then it goes on. But they're really the two verses that I want us to look at today. And another verse that I want us to consider, and that's Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 7 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, which says here, "Therefore he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So we begin to get an understanding in the scriptures why intercession is so important, why we pray to him. Because Hebrews tells us that he now sits at the right hand of the Father, makes intercessions for us, for the church, for the saints, for the world. He's there making intercession. He's there bringing it before Almighty God. Every desire within our high priest, Jesus, is to save to the utmost. And not only to save, but to make whole in mind, body, and spirit. When we pray, when we supplicate, we must always bear in mind God's heart, God's will. And that is that none should perish, that all could be saved. Praying when there is illness or trial or testing or whatever it is, it's always in God's heart that we come through. And that is why he gives us the word of God that is also a source of comfort and a building up of our faith. So when we pray, and we're calling this teaching today, the Spirit himself prays through us. The nature of the Spirit of God praying through us is always to save, always to deliver, always to have mercy, forgiveness. That is his heart. We cannot pray contrary to that. Otherwise, it is not true intercession. We have to pray according to the will of God, to the heart of God, to how the Spirit leads in and through us. Because it's not in God's heart that any should perish, any should die. And of course, at the moment, we're all being stretched, we're all being tested with this virus, this plague that is around the world, and hearing so much negative news. We have the Spirit himself who can rise above all of that, who can keep us focused on the word and the promises of God, to allow the Spirit to pray and supplicate through us. And this is what makes our prayers effective, our prayers supernatural. It's interesting that in the previous verses that lead up to verse 26 and 27, the Apostle Paul is speaking of the last days, groaning creation, being delivered. He's speaking about what will happen in the last days. So how much more do we depend on the Holy Spirit, the one who is going to pray in and through us? You can read all of this in verses 18 through to 25. It's all in the context of groaning creation being delivered, being set free. What we hear in the news, what we're hearing now at the moment, and with this disease, this global disease, is all part of creation. It's groaning. It's under pressure. And God knows how much pressure it can take. He will not let it be destroyed. He knows how much pressure you and I can take. And he won't let it go a fraction further. Why does God work in that way? Why does it have to so often be taken to the extreme limits? You know, I used to ask that question before God. And one day the Lord did speak to me. He said, the grapes, when they ripen and they're picked, to get all the juice out of them, they have to be crushed to the utmost to get all the sweetness out of the grapes. And that is what he does through you and me. That is what he achieves through our prayers, our intercessions. So it is a sweetness. It gives him all the praise and all the glory. Now only God can do that, can't he? So when you feel you're being pushed to the utmost, when you feel that you can't take any more, that you're going under the strain of it, remember, you are crushed grapes and he's getting all the sweetness out of you for his glory. I mention all of this because this is all part of intercession. It's all part of where we stand together. If one suffers, then we intercede. We take in the spirit, in a sense, that burden. We stand also as if that were me. When I pray for you, Lord, I want to pray as though that's happening to me. Because that's the only way my prayers can be effective for my brother, my sister. What is the point otherwise in praying? And sometimes it might even require us to be like those grapes that are crushed so that the sweetness can come from it. I think a lot of us all like a nice good glass of wine, don't we? But you know, that glass of wine is totally dependent upon the grapes and the sweetness, the maturity of those grapes and how they've been nurtured and looked after. So how much more with this spiritually speaking? So looking at these verses then, opening them up a bit more, taking it from verse 26, it says here, likewise, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. Now, we can so often ignore a word like likewise. So I said at the introduction that the Apostle Paul had been speaking from verses 18 through to 25 about groaning creation, being delivered, being set free, and your ministry, our development, our future is all part of that. So he's been talking about this. Then he comes into intercession. He comes into prayer. And so he says, likewise. In other words, what you have just read, what you've just been reading about these other verses with regard to how creation is groaning under the strain, everything is going to look more and more negative in the last days. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. So in the context of what you've read there, what you're seeing, he's coming back to the Spirit, to the Holy Spirit. The reason why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, because he is going to be our help. He is going to strengthen us. He is the one that we lean upon. That whatever the news, however bad it looks, and at the moment in this country, it's looking awful with regard to all these deaths. We could be the highest in Europe to the deaths of coronavirus. We don't know yet how many. It's over 20,000. That doesn't include the homes and nursing homes and hospice and likewise. This could be because God is chastening this country. God is going to judge the UK severely more in the light of what we have had over the years, over the centuries. In many ways, we've committed the sin like Israel has done. The light that she had, the light that we've had. And look at us now. It is appalling. We are godless. This is why we stand in the gap. This is why I'm praying for God's mercy over this nation. For those very reasons. Because it is appalling what is happening. We could become a laughingstock, a shame around other countries. This is why we need to pray. This is why we need to pray for our government to stand in the gap, to ask God in his mercy to stay his hand. We're seeing younger people dying with this. We're seeing babies dying with this. This is telling us something. It's all part of what you read, creation groaning under the strain of sin, rebellion. And that is why the Spirit himself prays through us. I already said at the opening, it's not in the Father's heart that any should perish. That any should be in sickness, poverty, and so on. Yet we know it goes on. So we take on the intercessor's heart, the high priest, the one who sits at the right hand of the Father. And if you have the Spirit within you, you are going to bear his heart. You are going to experience how he feels. And he's going to use you and I. He's going to use us both individually and corporately as a church to pray, particularly at this time that we find ourselves in. So he says here, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. And we are weak. We are weak. And he says that these weaknesses are like infirmity. They're weaknesses that we go through. Times sometimes when we doubt. Or we feel off colour. We just don't feel too well. Or somebody has rejected us, or abused or misused us, and all these things. Yes, we do feel it. Yes, it is the cross. And the cross is to keep us focused and balanced and not be consumed by rejection or anger or these things that we go through. It helps us, but we still go through these weaknesses. Sometimes we just haven't slept for a couple of nights or whatever it is. This is where the Spirit will take over. He will work on our behalf. And he says that he will help with this. Let's turn to Acts chapter 7, verse 34. Acts 7 and verse 34. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now come I will send you to Egypt. So here we get this idea of this groaning, this weakness. The same with the children of Israel. God wanted Moses to to hear and understand the burden that Israel was under Egypt, Pharaoh. It's the same type of thing. And he does this through our weaknesses. It's always in our weakness we know that he makes us strong. God can't do this through the proud, through the arrogant, the self-sufficient, the ones that know it all. And sadly, we know them, don't we? We could have them even in our own family. No, that he can't, the Spirit can't pray through people like that because they're not sympathetic. They don't have empathy with that sort of thing. In actual fact, a lot of people who are like that become rather disgruntled, angry with weak people. They don't want weak people around them. They find them ineffectual. They're a hindrance. They're negative, and so on. I know people who are like that. And God can never intercede through people who are like that. So he goes on, he says, "For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions." So, through these weaknesses then, he works through us. He works through our health. He works through our moods. He works through our conditions, through our circumstances. Wherever we may find ourselves, even if we're in prison, he still works through us. And that's why we can pray in faith. Because it's got nothing to do how I feel or what I'm going through. We don't know how to pray. We ought to, but we don't. Often, this fallen world has hindered our prayers. Sometimes we can be so overwhelmed with what we hear that it can actually hinder my praying. Or sometimes I've got to get my emotions first out of the way because I can't pray effectively yet. It will be wrong otherwise. It's not always easy when God is chastening someone or chastening a brother or sister. We cannot get in the way of that with what God is doing. But simply to stand in the gap that their faith will not fail, but they will stand through this and come forth purified as gold. Sometimes we have to pray those sort of prayers. But the nature of prayer is always to save, to heal, for God's glory. That is the spirit and heart in which we always pray. We cannot pray in any other way because that is the Father's heart. What does God say in Romans 11 verse 2? Romans 11 verse 2. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleaded with God against Israel, saying, "Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life." He's an intercessor. He's standing in the gap for the rebellion of Israel. And we stand in the gap for the rebellion, the blindness of this nation, this country, the government, that God would have mercy, help them to see, to understand. That is what it means. And it's the Spirit himself that does this through us. He prays with intensity. And that's what it means here, to pray for as we ought, for the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It means praying with intensity. It can't be uttered. I don't have the adequate words. I haven't the words for the intensity, the burden that is upon my Saviour's heart, who wants to intercede through me. How can we? There aren't words. And when there aren't words, then we have the Spirit who takes over at that point, who brings out his language, his utterance through us. We just simply are vessels in which he prays through us. And he'll use whatever words, whatever language, he'll use that through us. Isn't it wonderful how the Holy Spirit can take over like this? Because our own words, our own vocabulary, is just not enough. And we know that the Spirit is praying through us. Sometimes you feel his heart. You feel that burden. Sometimes you can pick up that he cries. He has emotions. And you pick that up in the intercession. I know, and I'm sure all of you can witness this, when we got in prayer for our sister Teresa, I found myself just praying so deep. I couldn't describe what was just coming out. And I cried out and I said, "Father, I cannot believe, I just cannot accept that my sister has to die this way, which is a judgment on the world. She has been delivered from judgment." And I prayed that through, because something within me could not accept that. Yes, saints die. If the Lord tarries, we die. But we don't die through a plague, through a judgment. Because we have Psalm 91 and many, many other promises. You see, that is knowing the Word. That is knowing the Father's heart. That is standing in the gap. Moses, he did the same. He said, "If you take them, you destroy these people, you also destroy me." He identified. Did that take God by surprise? No, because that, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, that was his heart. And Moses picked it up by the Spirit. It is always redemptive intercession in nature. Well, it goes on, doesn't it, in verse 27. "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God." And it's always for the will of God. We cannot pray anything contrary to the will of God. And how God reveals his will is amazing. He reveals it in so many ways. And of course we have it in the Word of God. But you know something, when you are praying according to the will of God, what an anchoring, what an encouragement it is to our faith. How can we doubt when we are praying according to the will of God? That's why how Jesus walked in his earthly ministry. He knew that through his prayers, his intercessions and supplications, whatever he was doing was the will of God. How can you doubt the will of God when he's doing it in and through you? when he could only speak and say and do that which was revealed to him, which is exactly the same to us. And that is what he's going to do through your prayers. You don't know how to pray unless he reveals and shows you, which he's doing and will do. That is what the Holy Spirit is for that very purpose, to come and take over. Because in ourselves, we are limited. We are weak. We're fleshly. It's just not enough. And so God knew what he was doing in baptizing us in the Spirit, so that we can move beyond ourselves into another realm, the realm of glory. That's why it says in Ephesians, we're already seated with him in heavenly places. We know what our warfare is. It's not against flesh and blood. All of this is to move us beyond ourselves, our limitations, our mind, our thinking, so that when we are led by the Spirit to pray in the Spirit, then he begins to give us the mind of the Spirit. Your mind, your thinking, your knowledge, your taking in is of another realm. Flesh and blood can't reveal that to you. It can only come by the Spirit of God and as we embrace the Word of God. So the Spirit knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. We don't know ourselves. We think we do, but we don't. That's why he comes to take over. And the Holy Spirit is interceding through each of us. And that's why our prayers are so often for the church, for the saints. Because it's according to God's will. It is God's will that we pray one for another. It is God's will to pray for the assembly, and so on. And when we know it is God's will, when we know that the Spirit is praying through us, the will of God, the heart of Jesus, the high priest, we can confidently say what it says in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. We know. And that we know is an experiential knowing. It means I know, I am touched by that knowing. God has revealed himself. It's the same experience that the disciples had with Jesus when he rose again from the dead. They saw him. They touched him. They had that knowledge, that knowing that flesh and blood can't give. Here it is, the same thing again in verse 28. We know that all things work together for good. I know it because I'm touched by it. I've experienced it. I have seen it. I have seen my prayers, intercessions, God answering. I know, and nothing can take away that knowing. Wish to God more Christians, more saints had that experience. Because that is what the Holy Spirit ministers to us. The living Christ, who's alive today, living now. We must know that and be touched by that. That must be our experience. Otherwise, we're just religious. And that is why we're baptized in the Spirit, for that very purpose. That we are witnesses. We know we have been with Jesus, and the world will see it. That is what needs to be restored back to the body of Christ in these last days. And that is why the Spirit himself, he prays through us. You don't know how to pray. You don't know how to intercede unless the Spirit Himself reveals. He ministers through us. We don't know what is on the Father's heart unless we allow the Spirit to pray and intercede through us. That's why many times, as I close now with this, I often ask, Father, what is on your heart? What would you have me to pray? We come so often with our lists, what we want him to do in everything. But have we ever asked what is on his heart? And he will reveal, he will show, and you will find what is on his heart. And his heart is that none should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. It is the Father's heart to save, to heal, to deliver. That is the spirit and heart in which we pray, brothers and sisters. You cannot pray in anger, resentment, unforgiveness, critical or accusing. You can't pray like that. That is completely contrary to our Father's heart. He is a God of love and mercy and grace. And let our prayers always be tempered with that. Then we know confidently that all things work together for good. You can confidently know that your prayers prevail before the mercy seat of God. Father, we thank you again today. Thank you for encouraging us and speaking to us and helping us. We are living in real times. We are witnessing and seeing events happening. Things that you spoke of in the last days would happen. And Father, you have shown that in our weaknesses you make us strong. You have shown us that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, he is the one who's come to take over. Lord, forgive us that we would hinder your Spirit working in our lives. Father, help us. Help us to be sensitive. Help us, Lord, to have that time and consecration with you so that you can pray those priestly prayers through us. Father, how can we doubt when we have the mind of the Spirit? And so, Lord, I do thank you today for encouraging us. I think, Father, this is very appropriate at this time, that our prayers are effective, they prevail. Lord, I sense, sadly, you only have a few who really are praying the mind of God in this time. So help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us not to run away or to hide, but to confidently allow your Spirit to pray in and through each of us. And Lord, I also pray that you will bless, preserve my brothers and sisters. May they continue to be blessed with all the blessings of Psalm 91 and above all, the shed blood of Calvary, who is our deliverance. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, He is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon